for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, July the 1st, 1985. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Michael Cameron of Peterhead, Scotland, is the speaker of the morning.
Deemed of the Lord faithful, whom we have redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Hallelujah. I believe it in the manifested presence of God this morning. Amen. You know, strange things happen to you when you are touched by the hand of God. We were in Phoenix, and Brother Glenn was there last February, when the spirit of laughter descended upon this whole congregation. There we laughed and laughed and laughed before the Lord. You know, there's nothing wrong with any one of us this morning. But the good doors of the Holy Ghost. I think we're going to be interrupted here today. But let me tell you something, I welcome divine interruption here. I see this first, not so long as this is going to be. You know, I don't know if you know, the preacher sometimes has a job to recognize that God wants it to preach on. And I found that the last day, the Bible says he that ministers, heaven with
on his ministry. If it was that easy, we'd have no problems. But I want to tell you something, how something we've got to wait. We've got to wait until the manifestation of the Holy Ghost before God has given us the word. The word that Jesus speaks, the Bible says in Acts 10. By Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Can you say amen? He's Lord of all. He's Lord of all being. He's Lord of eternity. He's Lord in heaven. He's Lord on earth. He's Lord under the earth. There is nothing that doesn't come under the power of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he is above all, he's in all, and through us all, to whom be glory and majesty, dominion and might and power forever. Can you say amen? Of him are all things. Wow. Since you know when he was beginning to come, you will judge and find it first what Jesus was with all the wonderful works of God. This is who have known the mind of the Lord, or who have been his counselor, or who have just given to him and it shall be given to him again. But all of him, through him, and to him are all things. Can you say amen this morning? There's nothing that one of us deserves to be with eternal damnation but for the grace of God. We are the objects of his mercy this morning. Sometimes we, remember, when we get a little bit traditional, we begin to feel that God owes us a favor. God's already given you a favor by restoring you to life from death, can you say amen? He's taking you from the beggars and the dunghills and set you among the princes, can you say amen? Oh, I thank God this morning for the Holy Ghost. You see, I'll tell you something. That which is begun by effort has got to be maintained by effort. But I believe that God gives Glenn and his wife a vision of this place, and I'll tell you something, that's why it's going today. But because where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But we've got to be restrained by a vision. We've got to be restrained by a vision. Can you say amen? Proverbs 29:18, I'm just moving with the Holy Ghost reading today. Where there is no revelation, there's got to be a revelation. I'm not talking about wild guesses and intellectual understanding of the mind. I'm talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ to your spirit today. I'm not talking about the concoctions of the mind, and they can be many, and you're numerous, and they're peculiar. We can concoct anything up here, but I'll tell you what comes from the Holy Ghost is real. And I'll tell you what comes from the Holy Ghost is everlasting, it's eternal. But I'll tell you when we get into a habit and we get into a rut, we begin to imagine all sorts of things. That's why we've got to pass down imaginary. And all these things have got to be taken authority over because God is a spirit. God's not man. God and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. You know, the Bible says to speak about the philosophy of men, but that with a mind to intrude into those things. But I'll tell you, we don't dare intrude with our minds, but I'll tell you, we can soar with our spirit. Amen. Man is a spiritual being. He's just a spirit, a soul, and a body in that order, and you better keep it in that order. God made the spirit of man first. Amen. That's right. Well, the spirit of man was with God before he made him, and he only breathed into him that spirit when he gave life to man and to woman. Do you say amen? We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in lots of houses in the lowest parts of the earth. I don't know all what God did, but I know that I was chosen in him. Do you say amen? Now I'll tell you something, there's something about the power of God that's different. When God comes on the scene, things change. But they say the people change. You know, I was thinking, and I'm just throwing this in, God quickened me this morning to share how God dealt with us as a family. So I'll tell you something, there's nothing to compare with your experience. Someone has said that somebody's got a theory, and those that you've got an experience, somebody's got a theory. You'll never meet the mercy of a man that's only got a theory, if you've got a good experience. Now I'm going to talk this morning about an experience with God, about how God can come on the scene and meet your needs. Listen, we're speaking from experience. You know, I want to tell you something that for 3.5 years I was brought up, I was brought into a Pentecostal church when I was 19 years of age, and I was there for course about 18 to 20 years. Let me tell you, at the end of that time in that church, we began to seek God in prayer and fasting for a move of God. Let me tell you, I've been reading something of A.W. Tozer's books, and let me tell you, he said that, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. He's writing in the mid-50s. I don't know what's going to happen to this generation. I don't know because of no man beginning to seek after God as men used to seek. But there's one thing that I see is a mitigating factor. It's something that brings encouragement to my heart. I see a hunger in the hearts of men and women arising out of God. Do you see? And I see a hunger today for God more than we've ever experienced in our whole 40 years of walking with God. I tell you, all over the world we're singing, the Spirit is moving and prompting a desire within the heart of one and another today. And God put in our hearts as a family to seek God, and for 3.5 years, are you listening this morning, we sought the Lord. We would meet in the morning and pray before we went to our work. We would meet at noontime, we would meet in the evening. Let me tell you something, God moved in a positive and in a powerful way. And we saw people healed, saved, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you something, let me warn you today. And I know there are folks here that have been refused by many movements because they want their son to press into God. And let me tell you, when you come to unspiritual people, they don't know what you're talking about. And now we were in a church, and when we began to get real with God, and God began to get real with us, you know, they said, well, there's only one way to do it. God must answer prayer. At the end of 3.5 years of prayer and fasting, God answered prayer. And I'd like to say that the church received the revelation of God. No, it didn't. The church that I was in thought they had it all, thought they had enough. One of the most dangerous positions in life is when you think you've arrived, when you think you've got it all. And I've not long to church that we believe in the, listen, we believe in the apostolic ministry. We believe in the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And yet, we come to a dead end. I'll tell you, I don't care what you've got this morning, unless you're moving in God and moving in something that's live and a fresh vision from God, it's dead. It's dead. And you know, at the end of 3.5 years, God answered prayer. And we found ourselves excommunicated. You say, brother, is that an answer to prayer? Not the answer I would have liked, but the answer God gave. Let me tell you something. When God answers prayer, it's something that knocks in your back. It knocked us back so much that I began to wonder where we were. I felt the bottom and fallen into the water because all I'd known was a Pentecostal group from the age 19. Now, that really God meant, men of God couldn't do this, sir, but they did. But you know, they didn't know it was the hand of God. You notice in the scriptures, they wot not it was the Lord. They didn't know it was the Lord. They didn't know it was God. Listen, behind the scenes, You know, God, it's a verse, I think, is in Haggai. This is the modern translation. I didn't notice this until recently, but I've seen it for years. God is silently planning for thee in love. Can you say amen? How many believe that this morning? God is silently planning for thee in love. And we didn't know it, but let me tell you something. You're led better than you know. You're led better than you know. At the end of the 3.5 years, we were in doubt, and I felt our world had fallen to pieces. Let me tell you, friend, this morning, when you see your life come to an end, when your little battery has run out, God plugs you into direct power, and your little battery can't keep you going no more. That's why in weakness, His strength is made perfect. We come from that small battery that we're depending on, and we plug into heaven's power, and God says, now you're running my team. You're running your own team, one another. You know, when Moses was at the burning bush, for 40 years he'd been in the palace trying to be somebody. Trying learning to be somebody, learning to be the next king of Egypt, probably. And then when he tried to do it in your own strength, and you thought that this was a time, he mistimed it. Oh no, how many know you can move at the wrong time? He mistimed it, and he landed in the backside of a desert. I don't know what time it is in the backside of a desert, but that doesn't soon sound good to me. On the backside of a desert, I don't know what you said. I don't know what the front side was like, but the backside must have been worse. And one day he's watching, and I don't know what had happened to Moses. But the Bible says that in Acts 7 he was mighty in words and deeds. But when he came to that wilderness, I don't know what happened. And all he could see was these bushes. And little bits of foliage, nothing worth to look at. And especially on the backside of the desert. And he was out with his sheep one day, and it was not every day was the same. How many, you know, you've been through that, it's been every day the same. Tomorrow the same as the next day, and the next day. Well, Moses is like, can you imagine coming from a palace to that? Oh, I'll tell you, the dealings of God to me are beyond understanding. God brings you to the wilderness. You know that God's bringing the church to the wilderness today. You know, when I was in the minister first on Hosea this morning, in Hosea chapter 2, he says, I will entice thee, Eastern to Israel. I will entice thee and bring thee to the wilderness. You know, it's in the wilderness that God does his healing. It's in the wilderness that God uses the rod and the staff. It's in the wilderness that God shows his power. Oh, I know that in the garden, God showed his power and man failed in the garden. But listen, Jesus triumphed in the wilderness. And I'll tell you something, God dealt with Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. And I don't know what wilderness you're going through this morning, but listen, saint of God, God deals with you in your wilderness. And I'll tell you, if you don't listen to God, you'll go the same way as the children of Israel, you'll die in that wilderness. And I'm glad to tell you, you needn't die in the wilderness. Jesus was 40 days, 40 weeks of trial and testing of God. And Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness. Tempted in all points, just like you are and I. So don't think he doesn't know what we're going through. He knows all about it. And as he was being tempted in the realm of the world, the flesh and the devil came to him many times. But the Bible says that after 40 days, he returned victorious in the power of the Spirit to Jerusalem. What a difference from that multitude in the wilderness. And I'll tell you something, you can have your choice this morning. 40 years in the wilderness and die. Of 40 years of Jesus and completed victory. 40 years in obedience or 40 years in disobedience. The Bible says he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And listen, I was saying with our brother Tom, listen, through much tribulation, the folks don't like this, it's in the scriptures. Through much tribulation, you'll enter the kingdom. You know, a whole part of our trouble, it's not the world. A whole part of your trouble in mine is in here. It's in here. You're not troubled. Listen, the world won't trouble you if you don't trouble them. Listen, I'll tell you who will trouble you. Apart from your sin, it's the old self. God wants to bring you to the wilderness to deal with eyes. Moses was in the wilderness. You know what God is dealing with? He's dealing with his eyes. He says he thought it was time for him to go forth. Listen, God will tell you when it's time to go forth. The Bible says that John the Baptist, he was in the wilderness. Are you listening? The word wilderness is coming up again. He was in the wilderness until the time of his showing forth the wilderness to Israel. And God will keep you in the wilderness until you've gone through exactly the procedures of what God wants you to go through and the training that God wants to put you through. And it wasn't until then that John was revealed. Let me tell you something. God knows his man. God knows his woman. He knows that if you come when you see him too soon, you're going to fail. Because you haven't been trained. You haven't been prepared. You haven't been gone through what God wants you to go through. Listen, if Israel had gone right to the promised land, you know the Bible says he took her on the other way. Because unless they saw fighting, unless they saw battle, you know what? He wasn't fit for battle. He had the marks of slavery upon them. They were out of Egypt. Egypt wasn't out of them. And here God brought them along with lest they could discourage the Baalites and turn back when they saw war. Listen, you see, God had been training them for 40 years. And it wasn't them that entered there, only Joshua and Caleb. It was the young. That their head will be perished in the wilderness. It was the young that went through for God. I'll tell you something today. If you and I don't obey God in all generations, we'll miss it. Are you listening to this? Years ago, when Robert was younger and the family was younger, and we had a church a little bit bigger than this, and it was packed one night, and we're ministering on obeying God. I said, if you don't listen to God, God will pick up young people, stronger with Samuel. But God couldn't get Eli to listen. Hophni and Phinehas, and yet he got the heart of a young boy to listen to his words. This is where the scripture comes from. Well, there was no open vision. There was no fresh word from God. Let me tell you something. I don't know who it is. We need to hear a fresh word from God. And there's no fresh word from God until Samuel came in the scene. And Samuel got tuned into God. Let me tell you, if you and I fail God, God will raise up the children. And you send them across this great nation and the nations of the world blazing a trail with the Holy Ghost of oil. Let me tell you what happened that night as we were ministering that truth. The Holy Ghost fell as it fell in Acts chapter 10. How did you read it? I believe that we experienced it this morning. And I said the Holy Ghost fell on the house of Cornelius. Listen, back in Scotland, the Holy Ghost fell on our whole church as was ministering that truth. And Robert fell over the platform here speaking in tongues who stepped in the 14. My daughter Christina, I remember this vividly, sat in the front seat speaking in tongues for the first time. All of the building young people just went down under the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, without hands being laid upon them. I tell you, God is still pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. God's still doing it again. God doesn't need to repeat Himself. He's doing it again and again and again. Where He'll get hearts that are open, He'll do it. You see, we had come through our wilderness. We thought our world was finished, but God had brought us through and God had visited us back there in Scotland. Let me tell you, from that time, and some of the young people had to be carried home under the divine afflatus of the Holy Ghost. He was powerless under the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, I'd rather see my children filled with God and carried home under the power of God than in the arms of some drunkard dragging them down the street with you. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Now, Kevin, you talk about getting your young children filled, and this day we need to get them filled as soon as they get understand. I've got a young nephew back in England. And Robert was his model. And he would watch Robert play the accordion. So, he got saved. And we would come down to visit our daughter in England. And at 6 up in the morning, the door would open. And then there'd come little Trevor. He's a grand that let up church. 6 up in the morning. And I'm down there for a rest. Well, I said, you sing and I'll preach. Or you preach and I'll sing. And he'd get out that little accordion. Just like Robert. And at 4 years of age, he'd begin to magnify the Lord. Listen, 4 years of age, between 3 and 4, we were in a restaurant in the city of Aberdeen. And this place, it was a brand new restaurant, and downstairs there was a Western band, Santa Tack Custom, to this big place that is newly opened, freshly opened. Upstairs we were in the restaurant, and my wife and I and little Trevor, and without warning he stepped up in the aisle and began to play and sing. Lord, you've really been good to me. And within a short time, a dozen witnesses got around them. And all the people said, listen, who is this young boy? Let's know when he's on television. We want to see him. What is he singing? You know, I was kind of taken aback. Well, I'll tell you, he's singing. We weren't prepared for this. He's singing some of his Sunday school songs. I'll tell you what he was doing. He was praising the Lord. Listen, Samuel was worshiping the Lord at the age of 3. How soon he was going to kill him, filled with the Holy Ghost, get him filled with the Holy Ghost as soon as he can. Despise not the day of small things. Listen, God began to move in our children. Listen, I would say this by the grace of God. The bulk of the young people that were slain in the power of God that day are in the full time ministry today. 32 members of our family are full time in the ministry, and I believe it dates back to the time of the visitation of God. When God came on the scene in the power of the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you that. If it's going to begin, it's going to begin with God. It's going to go with God. It's going to end with God. It's nothing of us. Of Him, through Him, through Him are all things. Nothing of us. You know, and Moses was in that wilderness, and every day was like, I don't know what he thought. Coming from the palace, and here he was shepherding sheep. Oh, listen, God knows how to teach his lesson. God knows how to bring us to subjection. You see, there was a great thing ahead for Moses. He didn't know it. One day, when he's just matter-of-fact walking with his sheep, and, you know, I don't know what had happened to Moses, but during this time, he must have developed a stutter. He had an impediment in his speech. Well, I don't know, it must have come, but he's walking with sheep. He didn't know how to talk with sheep. Did you know that in Acts 7, he says he was making words indeed, and yet he must have lost his whole sense of composure, and he must have lost his speech. But God said, I'll give you hearing to walk with you, because I can't speak. He had an impediment. But I'll tell you something. God, one day, as he's walking, he saw it when he thought it was just ordinary. Let me tell you something. God comes on the scene on something you're not expecting. He on the most ordinary day can become the most extraordinary day in your experience. This camp meeting can be one of the greatest changes in your life. This can be a visitation of God for you. Let me tell you, I can go to certain places where I've been, but I can see my life was changed by a meeting with God. This can be your meeting with God during this time of camp. Can you say amen? And you know, Moses, as he was walking this day with his sheep, he just saw a bush burning. He said, I'll go outside and see this thing. Because there's something different about this bush. He'd never seen a bush burning for so long. Any other bush that he'd seen had just burned and out it went. I thank God he turned aside. Do you? Because I'll turn aside. You know, when God deals with you, be sure to turn aside. Oh, you'll miss it. Moses turned aside. And as Zobel said, the difference of this bush was, it wasn't lit by man's ingenuity, it was lit by God. God is in the midst of that burning bush. And as he drew near, God says, put off your shoes. You know, the covenant of the loose shoe. You know what he was saying? Moses, you've walked long enough in your shoes. Now let me walk in your shoes for a while. You've done your thing for so long, but let me do the walking. Sit over and you'll be my partner, but I'll take the driving seat. How many know what I'm talking with this morning? I'll tell you, leave. You know, the ground says, leave the driving to us. Listen, leave the driving to Jesus. Move over and give Jesus the control of your life. Move out to the scene and let Jesus take control. And God is saying to Moses, listen, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. This is a meeting place with God. Listen, this is holy ground. Whatever God touches is holy ground. Whatever the glory cloud comes down is holy ground. Whatever God visits is holy ground. Whatever the presence of God is felt is holy ground. Now I'll tell you, Moses felt something that day he never felt in his life before. He felt the wonderful presence of God. And he heard a voice. You know the voice, it says, I am. Take off your shoes, he says, but I am that I am. I'm glad he didn't say I was, but I was. You, he said, I am that I am. He said, when you go, he said, you'll say, I'm not coming to my own scene. You'll just say, I am that I am. That's something. Listen, if we go in our own scene, it'll fizzle out. Moses had found a lesson here. 40 years learning to be somebody in the palace. He spent 40 years learning to be nobody. God decimating him, breaking him down, until he didn't know which way to go until God gave him a sense of direction again. And then for 40 years, he was leading the children of Israel. He was only fit after the 40 years in the wilderness. What am I saying this morning? God may be dealing with you in the wilderness. You may be wondering, you may be saying this one song that some folks don't care, but hey, Porter, what are you doing to me? You may be wondering what the Porter's doing. But listen, God's dealing. God's dealing with your soul. God's dealing with your spirit. And God was dealing with Moses. Let me tell you something. Acts 10, to continue with the thought that we're giving. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Describing him, the Bible says he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, but gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Isn't that a good description for a godly man? He feared God. He's a devout man, devoted man. He was committed. There's one thing we need to do today is committed. And one that fears God, we were hearing last night, we need to have the fear of God. One of the things that's missing from our generation is a lack of the wholesome, holy fear of God. Not a fear of what God will do to me, but a wholesome fear of Him is all God's majesty. His divine person. We need to realize He is the Almighty. There is no one beside Him. He said, I am God, and beside me there is no else. And before me there was no one else. And there was no other Savior. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. How many would like to have an angel visitation? You know, I have Glenn playing this morning for the angels. Let me tell you something. We're living in days when the angels are going to be moving more than we've ever seen. Billy Graham wrote a book on angels, and I was amazed at the material that he gained to write that book. I'll tell you something. I believe we're in a time where angels are going to be seen. I believe we're living in a time when, if you fulfill the conditions, God will send an angel to you. Well, God is no respecter of persons. He sent one to Cornelius. But listen, how did he get your prayers answered? And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, listen to this now, thy prayers and thine alms. You're praying and you're giving, which represents your living. He not only was prayed up, but he was paid up. I'll come up for a memorial before God. Now send him into Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Then verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. Thank God he still falls today. Amen. On them which heard the word. Now that's not any word. That was a rhema word. That wasn't a physical word. That wasn't a logos. That was a rhema. That was a revelation of God's presence. And what we need today is not only a physical, we need a rhema from God. On them which heard the rhema word. And they of the circumcision which believe were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. You know, tongues are not given as a plaything. Tongues are given as a mighty instrument, a new dimension in our life. Can you say amen? Tongues are not given so that we can feel superior to other Christians. Let me tell you something. We have a misnomer today in Pentecost, and something's going to be cleared up. Let me tell you, God is going to bless the Baptists. God's blessing the Methodists. And let me tell you something. God is no respecter of persons, and we've been so proud of speaking in tongues, we've made it a doctrine. We made it a dogma and a creed, and we've separated between very brethren. Let me tell you, despise not your brethren. When Joseph was in Egypt, and before he revealed himself to old Jacob, he was sending back for Benjamin. And you know the word that he gave to his brothers who had betrayed him? When you come, bring your brother with you. Let me tell you something. When you come before God, don't dare come without your brother. I don't care what relationship he is in sectarian relations. Listen, we dare not come before God without our brother. Our brother needs God as much as we, whether they be Baptists, whatever they are. And I'll tell you something, God's doing a strange work today. And we've got to be ready for change. We've got to be willing to open our hearts for what God is doing. They heard them, therefore is it for, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. The Holy Ghost dimension is given to magnify God, not to magnify men. Amen. God wants you to be used of God, used by the Holy Ghost. You're not allowed to use the Holy Ghost. The sin of presumption is when you think you can use God to your end. But I'll tell you, God refuses to be used by carnal Christians. Can you say amen? And by carnal men. It is given to magnify God. Let me tell you, the Holy Ghost is given to lift up Jesus. When he is come, he shall take the sins of me and show them unto thee. And when the Holy Ghost has come, the first thing we think when the Holy Ghost has come is witness for the Lord. Listen, the first thing you should do when you come to Jesus, you should teach people to worship the Lord. You must be a worshiper before you can be a true worker for God. God wants you to learn worship before we can learn for work. And I've said it was given for us to magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that he should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as which? God is no respecter of persons. For everybody gets hearts that are open. When God began to pour his Spirit upon the Roman Catholics in this country and other nations, and we would go back to Scotland, we were afraid to tell them, because in the land of Scotland, the land of Presbyterianism, the land of John Knox, they wouldn't believe that Catholics could get the Holy Ghost. But that's the amazing thing was, he didn't ask for permission. He just went ahead and did it. The amazing thing is that God will pour his Spirit upon men and women whose hearts are open towards him. Can you say that? That's what Peter said. He says, I discern that God is no respecter of persons. But he that in every place worketh the works of God are accepted by God. Come quickly, Revelation chapter 8 and verse 4. And the smoke of the incense which came with the praise of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. What I was saying this morning, you know what incense means in the scriptures? Incense means worship and praise. You get the message this morning. The smoke of the worship and the praise ascended, which came with the prayers of the saints. Praise and prayer are interrelated. And they come out of our relationship with God. Can you say amen? When they came, I think it was in Revelation 5, they came with the harps and the bowls. You don't come empty-handed before God. You come with a harp, which speaks of praise, and you come with a bowl, which speaks of your prayers. So we don't come empty-handed before God. It is the smoke of the incense which came with the praise of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, filled it with the fire of the altar, and cast it into the air. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake. I know the Lord will bless his own precious holy word. Let me tell you something with incense before we go back to our message. Incense was burned on the golden altar before the veil was in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. Aaron would light the fire in the morning and he was commanded to keep burning that incense continue. It was right next, I'm laughing into Scottish, it was right next to the veil. And the veil wasn't a heavy veil like Herod's veil, it was a thin curtain. God never makes it hard to get into his presence. Man makes it hard. God makes it easy. Herod's curtain was like this thick. It would have taken 20 teams of horses to pull Herod's veil apart. But God smit it from the top to the bottom when Jesus died. But let me tell you, this is a true veil that God made, not man. And this veil was right the barrier to the most holy place for the high priest within once a year. And there they burned the incense continually on the golden altar. So the incense, the Bible says, it was broken. Let me tell you something. We've been dealing with the wilderness before you and I can do anything for God. God's got to break it. Can you say amen? There's got to come a breaking in our experience. Going back to what happened to us in Scotland many years ago, I never knew Watchman's book, Release of the Spirit, until I came to this country. But I'll tell you what happened to us over 20 years ago. We went through an experience, I believe it was called Release of the Spirit. God broke us on the inside. When we came out of that movement, we were bitter. How many know you can't be bitter and be blessed? We were bitter. We need to be better, not bitter. But we were bitter. And when we built that church 25 years ago, I was at the dedication just Silver Jubilee just in December 1974. The last day of December, I celebrated the 25th anniversary, 84. And you know, we built a building in 1960. We opened it in 1960, December the 31st, 1960. And you know what we used the pulpit for? Preaching against the people that had kicked us out. We would lambast them from that pulpit. We wouldn't leave them with a leg to stand on. Well, I'll tell you, God must have laughed. The devil must have laughed too. But you know something? The Holy Ghost is faithful. We prayed for three now, if you remember. God visited us. And he broke us. He must be broken before he can be blessed. You know that this was broken. This stuff was broken. The incense was broken. If you've got a life of work for God, you've got to be broken. Let me tell you, we would weep over one another. If we committed anything we felt was wrong, we confessed one to another. Listen, there was nothing hidden what came out. We felt that we had to make a cleaning of ourselves. God was dealing, let me tell you, when the fire of God begins to burn in your life, there's a breaking. There's a breaking of the fallow ground. Because we must sow in righteousness and reap in mercy. And God wanted to sow righteousness, but before he could sow righteousness, we had to be broken. You had to break up that fallow ground. Let me tell you this morning, before you can be moved on by God, there's got to be a breaking of the fallow ground. We had to be broken. And then when God broke us, we began to love one another and love the people that had to hardly... You see, you can be right, and yet you can be wrong. We were maybe right in what we said about them, but our attitude was wrong. You know, you can be so right and so wrong. You know, Madame Guyon, when she was held in the Bastille in France, she embraced her circumstances. She kissed the captain's hand. She kissed her captain's hand, recognizing that all things are of God. Listen, let's learn to embrace our circumstances. It is from God. We were broken. We would love one another. And let me tell you, the folks used to call us a love family. We didn't call ourselves a love family. Because there's all sort of connotations that come with this thing. But they said, these folks love. You know what they said about the early Christians? This is, behold how these Christians love one another. I believe this, that if God's doing anything in the body of Christ today, he's bringing back love. A closeness of relationship with him and with one another. He's breaking us. He's breaking up that fallow ground that we may be like him. The second thought is it had to be beaten. I'll tell you something. The Bible says about Jesus that he was beaten with many stripes. And you and I have been beaten many times. We've got to be beaten. Oh, I'll tell you, there's so much of self in us, it's not funny. There's so much of that old man in there that God needs to deal deep and to beat us to get it out. And we've got to be beaten, and this what represents the veil, the incense that was offered to God, it had to be blended. Isn't it beautiful how we can blend when we're broken and beaten? Isn't it beautiful how we can worship together when there's a breaking of God? Wasn't it beautiful this morning to see folks weep over one another? Well, that's exactly who we began. And I believe that's how God wants it to continue. It's good to see Brother Glenn and others weeping before the Lord. Listen, tears are a language. God understands. Let me tell you, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Psalm 30 says, by thy favor hast thou caused my mountain to stand strong. And I'll tell you, the only thing that we can claim of God today is divine favor. We can be blended together. And can you say, amen? They shall flow together unto the goodness of God, and we need to flow together. And then the last thought, it had to be burned. Let me tell you something, we don't like the fire. The Bible says it's to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. We want the Holy Ghost, but we don't want the fire. And I'll tell you, for fire we want the general goes. For fire we plead. For fire will meet every need. But it will burn up every trace of sin. It will latch the light and glory in. This revolution now begins. Send the fire. We need fire. We need the fire to burn on the altars of our hearts. You know, the Bible says that with the light that was in the tabernacle when God lit it, and the Bible says, and that light shall never go out. Let me tell you, when God lit your spirit by the Holy Ghost, it'll never go out. God means that to continue burning. And you know, the Bible says that there were three ingredients in this incense. We're talking with praise, the type of praise. It was mixed with frankincense. It was stacte. It was onycha and galbanum. It was a special, peculiar mixture. Let me tell you, the priests were trained to smell this incense. And if they'd go down the street and anybody would try to concoct something like it, they were cut off from the people. They were stoned. Because this was for God's nostrils alone. Let me tell you, your praise is for God alone. Your worship is for him. Can you say amen? And when the priests, they would burn the incense and they'd go into the veil and you'd take the incense with them and he'd sprinkle the mercy seat. And the incense would rise to the nostrils of God. And God would smell it and be satisfied. And then after he'd ministered to God, he'd come out and minister to the people. Listen, after we've ministered to God today, then you're fit to minister to people. Can you say amen? And then he would come out of the most holy place, smelling with God. The incense that saturated the most holy place. Listen, you know how we should leave this place this morning? Smelling with God. God discerns that peculiar scent. He knows that incense. You know what Cornelius, to get back to the story of Cornelius, the angel said, your prayers and your alms are come up as a memorial before God. This is how he got his prayers answered, and this is what I'm sharing with you today. You think Cornelius was handing up this and he was going to the throne. And God would, he would say, that's Cornelius. He would sense the incense coming up. That's Cornelius. It wasn't a memorial like a wall plaque or something he wrote out. The memorial was a constant reminder that he was giving, this is a translation, coming up to God. God would say, that's Cornelius. I get that incense again. I get that scent again. It's coming from Cornelius. I wonder if God can get the incense from your prayers today. I wonder if God is moved by your prayers and your giving and your praising this morning. If there's anything that you want to move, it'll move the hand of God. It's your praying. It's your praising. It's your giving. Can you say amen? God began to move to Cornelius. And as he offered up God, it sent it and sent it. He said, send an angel quickly. My servant's in need. You want to get an angel? Begin to offer to God. Hallelujah. And the incense came with an angel, and he took it and he mixed it in Revelation 8 and 5. And he mixed it with the prayers of the saints. And he mixed it with the fire from the altar. And then he put it together and he threw it towards the earth. And there was thunderings and earthquakes and rains. What am I saying today? If you want, if there's something needs an earthquake in your experience, if there's something needs to be broken, if there's something needs to be saved, if there's a cancer needs to be healed, listen, why don't you offer something to God to get your prayers answered? Why don't you make it possible for God to answer the day? We think that God will answer any old and all he wants. He'll answer prayers and prayers. Can you hear me? Let me tell you, no prayer goes unanswered, for God hears your prayer. When Daniel began to pray, 21 years later, the angel fought his way through the prince of Persia. He says, Daniel, from the day he began to pray, you will have. Don't worry about the time that took to get here. We just fight to get here. I don't care how God will get you, but God will get through. And you begin to pray and praise as he ought, God will get through. Let me tell you, 2/3 of the angel are still in God's hand. Only 1/3 went to the devil. So thank God that God can make a way for you today. Can you say amen? You want a visitation from God? How many want a visitation from God today? Let's offer incense. You know, the amazing thing about the priest, they began to serve when they were 25. And after 5 years' trial, they began to serve when they were 50. And there was 18 conditions of priesthood. Read it in Leviticus. I don't have time to get into this. Leviticus 21 was 18 conditions of priesthood. And one, maybe I'll deal with a couple, but one of them was, you couldn't be a priest if you had a flat nose or a broken nose. You know what it says to me? You see, you couldn't smell the incense if you were a priest. And you had to smell that incense to know what was what. And if this was God and if that was man. And so you couldn't serve God if you had no sense. What am I saying this morning? How many are insensitive to the move of the Spirit of God? We can get into a service like this where God's moving and all we're doing is playing with our fingers and thumbs. Thinking of our breakfast tomorrow morning. Thinking of what we had at breakfast today. Thinking of dinner tomorrow. Thinking of our children. Listen. A broken nose. A flat nose. Listen. When we are here moving with God, let's get sensitive to the Spirit of God. Let's get sensitive to the touch of God. I've heard that say the preachers, they maybe go for an hour and this old lady would be sitting in the seat. And the preacher would go beyond 12 o'clock. And that was a lunch hour. And she would say loud to the preacher to hear, doesn't he know our lunch hour is at 12 o'clock? A broken nose. Insensitive. Are you more concerned about your lunch than sensing? You see, our priesthood ministry is being able to sense his presence. Is being able not only to sense his presence, but carry his presence. We carry the savor of God. To some, we are a savor of life unto life. To others, a savor of death unto death. But we need to carry that savor of his presence. Listen, the world is looking for the manifestation of the sons of God. And listen, if they don't see it in you now, they're not going to see it anywhere. Listen, Miss Carrie. Let's be carriers of the presence of God. Listen, one of the other conditions was you couldn't be a priest if you was a dwarf. Can you imagine that dwarf trying to reach the table? His little fingers, you say, and he would be knocking everything over because he couldn't reach. God doesn't want dwarfs. He wants you to be fully developed Christians. He wants us to be developed in Him, grown up in Him in all things. One of the other, I'm only teaching a couple of the conditions, and one of the other conditions was, you couldn't be a priest if you had a blemish in your eye. That means cross-eyed. Can you imagine a priest being cross-eyed, reaching for something here when he should have been there? Listen, some of us are cross-eyed, looking to the world for me instead of looking to God. I think the Smith Wigglesworth said some folks are cross-eyed, looking to the doctor and looking to Jesus at the same time. Listen, let our eyes look straight on. Let's look at God. Listen, I believe God wants to answer prayer. I feel it in the Spirit. God wants to answer your prayers today. But you've got to give Him something to work. Giving God something to work with. What you're giving to God is your prayers, is your praise, and also your giving. And this is what it said to me. And God sent an angel. And not only did He send an angel, listen, He sent the Holy Ghost to fill His household with the Holy Ghost, with His presence. We want a visitation of God in our nation, your nation. You want a visitation of God in your home. You want a visitation of God in your church. Listen, fulfill the conditions. And God may be pleased to send you an angel to say the time has come. And I'm going to visit my people. We're going to bow in prayer this morning. And I'm going to ask Robert to come, and Glenn, and other men of God that feel led. I don't want anybody coming this morning, but I want those who want to see a visitation of God in their nation and in their land. I want those that really mean business with God to come up these aisles and line here, and we're going to pray with you. That God will intensify your desire to offer praise and prayer before the Lord. How many want to see a visitation of God? You know, and all that it brings, it can bring an angel. I'm not saying you'll get an angel, but that's what Cornelius got, and God is no respecter of persons. You've got problems in your life, in your family. You've got problems in your business, problems in your home. Listen, what is the recipe? I'll tell you what it is. Make an offering to God. Worship Him. With our prayers and our praises, because we're both connected. The bowls and the harp. Don't come before God empty-handed. Come with your harp. Come with your bowl of incense. Come with your bowl of prayers. Come with your praise and come with your prayers. And come with a fully surrendered life. And God will answer prayers. He'll mix your prayers and your praises with the fire from the altar. Just as He did for Cornelius. And the angel will mix it and He'll throw it at that circumstance. He'll throw it at that cancer. He'll throw it at that trouble, that you afforded that need. Because let me tell you, nothing can stand before the presence of God. Moses had to learn a lesson. We've all had to learn that the wilderness is the teaching place of God. God may be bringing you through a wilderness, but listen, you can enter into Canaan this morning with a visitation of God. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land of blessing. It's a land of quickening. It's a land of refreshing. As we bow in prayer, I want you to mean business with God. Don't come here unless you mean business with God. If you really mean to go through with God, and you really mean to offer that prayer and that praise with all your heart, listen, it can happen this morning. It can happen now if you mean business with God. I believe the time is coming when the mass miracle is going to take place. When the mass presence of God is going to so visit our assemblies and our companies that there will be no time for minutes. There will be minutes of the Holy Ghost. It fell in the heart of Cornelius. There's no reason why it can't fall in this camp. Amen. I want us very quietly, as Robert plays, and Glenn's going to come here, another man of God that feel led. And we're going to form a line. And we're going to have a bridge here, and you're going to pass through this chain, through this line. Those that only mean business with God, those that are making up their mind, mean business with God, and God will mean business with you. We're just going to touch them as an indication that you're willing for God, and go right back to your seat. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, just touch your servant, Lord. God has given the desire of your heart. Thank you, Lord. Go right through. Amen. Lord, just give us the desire of our heart. Yes, Lord. God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, send your presence, Lord. Send your power, Lord, to meet these needs. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just pass right through, Lord. Just pass right through. Meet every need, Lord. And every vile man in every realm, Lord. As pleas and prayers offered, Lord. Meet every need. Meet every need, Lord. Hallelujah. Meet every need, Lord. Lift your hands and you can pray. Lift up your hands and pray. Oh, how expected. Expect from God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Christabakamasika. Holy Spirit. Visit your people, Lord. Visit your people, Lord. Lift up your hands and worship. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lift up your hands and praise Him. Lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, a visitation. A visitation, Lord. 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 Oh, a visitation, Lord. A visitation, Lord. Oh, God, a Shiva Hataka. God, a visitation of your spirit. A visitation of your heart, Lord. A visitation, Lord. A visitation, Father. A visitation, Lord. Oh, God, visit your people. Oh, God, visit your people, Lord. Visit your people. Visit your people, Lord. Visit your people, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, visit your people. Visit your people, Lord. Lord, visit your people. Just visit your people. Oh, God, visit your people. Visit your people, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, visit, Lord. Visit your people, Lord. God, visit your people. Visit your people, Lord. God, visit your people. Just lift your hands and pray to the Lord. Visit your people, Lord. Lord, visit your people. Oh, God, visit your people. Visit your people, Lord. God, visit your people. God, God, visit your people. Oh, God, for the visitation of your presence. Visit, Lord. Visit, Lord. Visit, Lord. Oh, God, visit your people. Lift your hand and praise the Lord for the visitation. God, visit your people, Lord. Visit your people. God, visit your people, Lord. Shura Bashiva. Oh, Yabashika Rabaha. Oh, God, visit your people. Visit your people. Visit your children, Lord. Yes, Lord. Live on me today. Visit, Lord. Shura Bashiva. Yes, Lord. Visit, Lord. Shura Bashiva. Lord, visit. Oh, Lord. This is the day of visitation, Lord. Yes, Lord. Visit, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit. Visit your people.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence.
Oh, yes. Oh, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, God showed me today that there would be a visitation. God showed me if it happened today. And I believe that God is going to answer your prayers. God is going to visit your people. God is going to visit. You know what God says? God shall visit your people. You know, when Moses, when Joseph was coming out of Egypt, you know, before he came out of, he died. And as he was dying, you know, he gave a blessing to those who was leaving. He said, you know, I'm going to die, he says. But let me tell you something in a prophetical word that I'll give you. He says, God will visit you. God will surely visit you. This is the children of Israel. He says, but you know, when I'm, he says, I don't want to miss the blessing. He says, listen, and when you go, he says, take my bones with you. Listen, I don't want to miss the blessing of God. Hallelujah. I want to be alive. But I'll tell you, even if I've passed on, I'll tell you, I want my bones to know the blessing. You know what Joseph's saying? I've seen the wilderness. I've seen the separation from my brethren. I've seen the restoration. I've seen the move of God. But whatever I'm going to see, God's surely going to visit His people. And I'm going to be part of that visitation. Even though you're telling me in a coffin, I'll be there. God will surely visit His people.
Sing it from the heart. Oh, yes, Lord.
More of you. I And, dear Father, we thank you for the wonderful sense of your presence that has pervaded this place, for the lives that have been changed and challenged by your presence and by your word, Lord. Now bless our fellowship around the table, the food that has been provided, and Lord, bless the hands that have provided, Lord, and helped, and bless us all this day. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.